We're going to keep you safe right now, safe from all the bad things out there, because we're staying safe with the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. Tom Nitter is here. He's the vice chair of the Racine County's Traffic Safety Commission. Thanks for joining us. Move a quarter mile of that microphone. We'll bring it closer to you. One of the you got a choice. You can move closer or move it closer, but I want to hear every word you have to say.
Okay. There all right, go. Dan. Well, good morning. And good thank you for bringing us back on here.
Yeah, thanks for getting up early.
You're welcome.
I know when I call a lot of guests in, they say, what time? I said, seven. Can we do it around noon? You can, but I leave at 9. So,
well, even you and I had that discussion, because I think in years past when we did this with WRGN, I think I'd stroll in about 9:30 or 10 o'clock or something for an interview on the topic.
We did it on Sound Off when I hosted Sound Off here. We used to have people in at that hour. But now it's Timeless Hits, local news, and we do it at 7 o'clock in the morning. Now, staying safe, let's give a little history of the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission, then a little history of the Staying Safe program. Let's start with the commission itself.
Okay. Well, first of all, this goes back, I think, to probably the early 70s. In 1971, the Wisconsin State Legislature created a state law requiring all the counties in Wisconsin. We got 72 counties. To have a traffic safety commission, and basically it involves members of the community that would have some interest and some not just interest, but some participation in promoting traffic safety. Law enforcement, of course, comes to mind. People from the highway department, whether it be the highway superintendent or what have you, highway engineers. Representative from the State Patrol, other people that are just interested in traffic safety. For instance, Wisconsin DOT has a whole bureau that's dedicated to Bureau of Transportation Safety. So they're a membership.
Now, yeah. I remember the Staying Safe posters because you see them at the police station. It's still hanging at the police station, the older posters, because it's timeless hits, but it's timeless information.
Right, exactly. And what happened was that at one point, and I don't know the exact starting day, but I want to assume it was in the early 2000s, the idea came up, and we partnered at that time with WRJN and also the Racine Journal-Times newspaper. The Journal Times was good enough to actually print physical copies of this information.
I remember it was a full-page thing in the newspaper. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And we also they also provided us with posters that we then would distribute throughout the county at places where people might gather.
Yeah. Now, it was always good information for the day it was put out. For example, in the winter, how to stay safe in the snow, how to stay safe, you know, shoveling. It was always good. And then after the seasons changed, and it was other good information, how to stay safe in the summertime. It was very good information. And most of it had to do with driving and preparing yourself for trips and so forth. And I'm glad. Now, when did it stop?
Well, it stopped probably around 2021. And a couple of things for that. One is COVID showed up. WRGN changed the formats. Before that, we used to come in on a monthly basis and kind of talk about the whatever the topic of the month was, you know, whether it be rules of the road or highway work zones or school bus safety or whatever. And also the Journal Times. I don't want to say they're completely gone from our community, but certainly their posture, if you will, within the community is not what it had been.
Well, newspapers all over. Except for the New York Times or the Washington Post are having problems.
Exactly. Even now, I'll read the newspapers online, their digital version.
Right. Yeah. And that's the way we're going.
That's the way we're going. So actually, the Safety Commission, we talked about that at our last meeting, saying, hey, we really want to get this program up and running again. But let's face it, things have changed. It's a digital world now. And we want to start getting the information out there more than we had been digitally and go away from print.
Let me, I'm going to say this so many times this morning, to see the current poster, you can go to RacineCounty.com/staying safe. Staying safe is one word when you do it on the computer. So it's one word, RacineCounty.com/staying safe. And and I've seen it on the computer, so I know it works.
Yes, yes, we figured that out this morning.
It works. And so this month, what are we talking about this month? Obviously the snow, right?
What we have is we've got a whole list of topics, so we can go into that as we get more into the interview. But yeah, this month's topic is snowplow and emergency vehicle safety. If you go to what you just mentioned, kind of a nice picture of a snowplow will show up, along with some of the patches of the law enforcement agencies that are participating with us in the program. And there, you click on it, and then it gives you the actual information that we want to get out to you. You know, things like, staying back a minimum of 200 feet, making sure that you do not ever tailgate behind snow removal equipment.
You know what happens when you tailgate? You know that little spreader of salt thing they have? Pelt your car with it.
Yes.
So if you stay back 200 feet, your window, your radiators won't be pelted with snow with ice, with salt pellets.
That's true. And also, people don't realize this, but with any large vehicle, if you can't see their mirrors, they can't see you.
Yeah. You know, whenever I live on a major street, it's Main Street. And after I get done getting my driveway, this is when we have a major snowfall. We haven't had a major one this year yet. But after I get all done clearing it, there comes the plow.
Life is timing, Don.
Well, in the morning, I have to be out of the house by about 5:15. So I'll get out there at 4:30 and start cleaning it. And just as I get into my car, I hear the rumble of the plow coming. I hope it's on the other side of the street. And then I hear it. I said, oh, please, no. And boom, it all comes back. I understand you have to get the street plow. I'm not stupid. But all that work for nothing. And then when he comes by, it's even heavier snow because it's got all that ice stuff. And I got to start all over again.
Well, welcome to Wisconsin, Don. It's one of those things we got to, got to live with, I guess. And
so where were you in 2011? For the big Groundhog Day snowfall, remember that?
Yes, I do. I was actually down in at my father's house. I was taking care of him, and I can remember listening to one of the Chicago stations, and they were giving step by step how basically the city of Chicago was shutting down. I can remember them specifically talking about Lakeshore Drive, and that ended up being just a nightmare because you reach a point where vehicles, they get stuck. No matter what you do, that's it.
Well, I started digging out with my wife. Both of us started digging at, it must have been 3 o'clock in the morning. And you just couldn't see anything. I have pictures of it. And you just couldn't see anything. You couldn't see. After you shovel, it was just blowing back again.
Right.
And I said, well, let me just get the car out of the driveway. She wasn't going to work that day. And I said, let me get the car out. And I couldn't see the road. It just was blowing, and finally I saw a police car in front of me, and I followed him. And then I was frightened to death of going over the Main Street Bridge because I couldn't see where the ends were on the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm petrified. I'm really scared because I can't see the bridge.
Right, right.
Because it was 50-mile-an-hour winds blowing. And I get over, and the police car vanishes. Just like, it's not there anymore. Like a ghost car, it just vanished. I got down. I took 6th Street. And because I could follow the street lights. But after a while, the street lights went away. And I get down to, Ohio. And I started to go down Ohio, and I couldn't get across the street to Victory. So I nowhere to go. I was going to park in the parking lot there from ShopGo, but it wasn't plowed. So I turn around, and I get to Walgreens on Highway 20. And I go into the manager on my hands and knees, pleading. And he said, yes, you can park your car here. Just pull alongside so the plow truck can get through. So then I had to walk all the way to the radio, 0.9 miles, because I clocked it later on.
Uphill both ways, right, Don?
Well, I had to, I had to go over this giant snow berm because the plows kept coming through. And my wife gave me, like, provisions for a week, canned food. I don't know where she thought I was going. But canned food, just carrying them on my back. And I got knocked down a few times by the wind. I got to Victory Avenue. It was up to my knees, and just I'm going through. Finally, I see the lights of the building, the tower. And I get in there, and Tom Carco, our news director, was opening the door. Come, you can make it. It's only like another 15 feet. And I made it in. What I didn't know at the time, my heart was failing. 2 months to the day, I had open heart surgery. And the surgeon said to me, I don't know how you survived that because you couldn't do it today. And I said, it's a good thing I didn't know it at the time. But, I mean, you got to be prepared for this kind of weather.
You do, and that'll probably be a topic of a poster in the future. I think
the groundhog day snowstorm.
It is important. Yeah, it really is. Now, I'll introduce a concept to you, and sometimes people don't think about that. But more and more public officials, we're advising people, unless you really have to travel, don't stay off the road. Let the plows get out there, do the snow plowing.
And most people can't stay. I just couldn't stay home because of the radio station. Hold on. We're talking to Tom Nitter, vice chair of the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. We're talking about staying safe. Keep it right here at WRJN 716 now. Herman's Hermits, the association, what a show. Tickets, we'll tell you how you can win them beginning next week here at WRJN. At 7:21, Tom Nitter, vice chair of the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission, is here reinstating the Staying Safe program. This is information you should know. Every month it changes. Let's go over some of the topics you've got coming up here. Obviously, this month it's snow.
Snow plow and emergency vehicle safety.
If it was in Hawaii, we'd be talking about lava flowing down a volcano. But that's
very possible, although I'd have to put on another hat to come in and talk about that.
People always complain here about the snow. They say, well, Florida's nice. Yeah, Florida's got hurricanes ripping the roof off your house. Well, Texas is nice. Yeah, they got tornadoes and flash floods. California, we know the horror that's going on out there. Hawaii's got volcanoes with lava flowing through the middle of town. Snow's not that bad, is it? By 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun comes out, the plows are there, and it's all gone again. So snow isn't that bad when you think about all the other catastrophes that can happen around this country. So,
compared to some of those things, certainly.
Let's talk about some of the topics.
That happens. Okay, each month we're going to have a different topic, and we might be going to a situation where we actually produce a couple posters a month. And the reason I say that is because in looking at this here, we not only have what you'd call traffic safety topics like motorcycle safety and pedestrian safety and things like that, but we also have water and boating safety and so forth. So next month we're looking at do a poster and information associated with the poster on rules of the road and inattentive driving. Inattentive driving is a real issue when we start talking about, causes of crashes and so forth. A lot of it is, people using their cell phones or not paying attention to, what they're doing. So let's see. We sort of did this, kind of use some common sense in terms of all the different topics. Like March, we're looking at highway work zones because that's about the time where we start getting back to road construction. April, we'll be looking at water and boating safety. May, motorcycle safety. A lot of it, we have to remind people, hey, there's motorcycles back on the road, so, pay extra attention to that. And also the motorcycle drivers, the number one thing that they don't realize is they're not as visible as they think they are. And, the brighter the colors they can wear, safety vests, things like that, the better off they'll be. June, we turn our attention to driving in our older years. That's going to be something that as we age as a population, it's going to be more and more of a topic. I just heard something last week, I think in Illinois, they've had required driver testing for people. I think it's like age 75 or something. They were talking about, is that the appropriate age or should we raise it up to 79 or, or keep it the same or whatever. But what we did with that poster is just trying to have people do a sort of a self-assessment in terms of, are you getting too old to drive? Are there indications that you're having some issues? And also some information for, I'll call them the kids of the seniors. They might be in their 60s themselves and maybe starting to even cut back or modify their own driving. So.
Well, my mother was in her mid-80s, I think about 87. She was still a good driver, but she had my dad in the car, and he had dementia, and he would touch the gears. I said, hand him over, Mom. And she said, okay. But I said, I will drive you wherever you want to go. I will make sure you have transportation. But I'm looking at their Cadillac, and there's scrapes and dents all up because they parked in the garage where they lived, and they were hitting stuff in the garage, I said. And she said, I agree. Handed over her keys, and that was it.
Yeah, and that's definitely one of the telltale signs is
that. And it's hard. It's hard to hand over
your keys.
You're talking
about independence. Yeah. And none of us want to give up our independence. And that's just the reality of things. There are a lot, I'll say this, in terms of, at least in this area, there's a lot more availability for older people that no longer drive to get around, whether it be with the bus system or with Uber, Lyft, things like that. You know, people aren't necessarily going to be isolated. There's all kinds of different programs that would be available to get people around the community if they need to go out shopping or to medical appointments or what have you. So July, we talk about pedestrian safety. August, we're into school bus safety because that's the time when schools start.
Hold on. We're going to come back. A few more minutes with you on the other side of the news here because I want to get to all this stuff. Make sure we get to it. My guest is Tom Nitter. He's the vice chair of the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. And being resurrected is the Staying Safe program. It went kind of like a lot of things during COVID. It went down and it didn't get up again until now, this month. And here we are. And it's kicked off right now. You can go check out the poster. It's not a physical poster anymore. You can see it online with a great bunch of information. And it's at RacineCounty.com/staying safe. Staying safe is one word. RacineCounty.com/staying safe, one word. We know it works because we tried it. So that's good. And there's a whole bunch of great information, how to deal with snow, traveling in the snow, shoveling. It's all there. And each month it's going to change. And we're talking about the different months. Let's do a quick review from the top. We're talking about snow this month in January, then what comes up.
Right. February, we're going to focus our attention on rules of the road and inattentive driving. After that, highway work zones and so forth. We left off, I think, when we were talking about school bus safety in August, because that happens. So
get a little closer to that microphone. Yeah. I'm going to hear everything you have to say.
All right. September is National Preparedness Month. It deals with more of the emergency management issues, so we'll probably throw in another topic for traffic safety then.
Now, we don't get a lot of tornadoes here, but if you do get one, you better know what to do. And we have that, the siren goes off the first Saturday of every month to let you know what it is. So it's every month they set that off and people say, siren's going off. Are there tornadoes? No, it's a test. It's been the first Saturday of every month for years.
At 4 p.m.
At 4 p.m. That's right. And we're going to remind people about that. Go ahead.
Okay. Then October, a timely topic, teen driver safety. We could probably do two shows on that one alone. November, we're going to start turning our attention back to winter driving, driver safety. And then December, because of the holidays, we're going to be talking about what we call drunk and impaired driving. We're actually seeing a trend where not only people are intoxicated by alcoholic beverages, but we're seeing more and more issues where there's drugs in their system when they're
tested. I watch all these police videos on YouTube. I'm fascinated by them. And if you watch them, you'd realize two things. First of all, nobody's got a valid driver's license anymore. And number two, they're either drunk or on drugs, and they lie to the police about it. And it's amazing how many people are on the road without a valid driver's license, without insurance, without a proper registration, and they're impaired. I can't believe. And if you watch these videos, now they're only showing you the ones where, they stop people for that. But there's a lot of them. I can't believe people are on the road. First of all, if you don't have a driver's license, you don't drive. But people do it anyway. And I don't get it. I was telling the little stickers you got to put on once a year when you pay your
renewal for the license plates.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And you get a little sticker on there. And I usually do it very early. Mine is done. Mine is up in November. But I do it first thing. So I get it like in the beginning of October. I don't want to put it on yet. So I keep it there. And here we are at the end of November. I say, I got to put it on. Oh, my goodness. So I said, instead of driving down main streets, I start going down side streets. I start hiding, parking if I see a police car down an alley. I just picture the cuffs being slapped on me and me winding up at, you know, some prison and chain gang in Texas somewhere because they didn't have my sticker on in time. But even though I have it.
Well, that sounds kind of dramatic, Don. I don't think that's going through my head. Well, that's because you are a responsible citizen, and you know, you're following the law and so forth. And it really comes down to responsibility. All this stuff. I mean, we're promoting this, the topics and so forth. People should have learned this when they went through driver's ed or they first started driving. These posters and the topics are really a reminder for the most part of things that they need to do to be a responsible driver. Occasionally laws change, so we do, you know, address that with a poster that deals with things. For instance, part of the topic for the snowplow and emergency vehicle safety has to do with what we call the move-over law, which is, again, if you see a vehicle on the side of the road, it's got flashing lights on it, whether it be a snowplow or a tow truck or a law enforcement vehicle, you're required to slow down. And if it's a multi-lane road, if you can safely merge over to the left away from the vehicle, that's something you need to do. That's the law. We want you to comply with it.
You know what just drives me nuts? And I've seen a YouTube video of this. A guy was following the bus, school bus, to record how many people drive when they have that stop sign out of the side of how many people just drive past and get around it on both sides of the street. You're supposed to stop on both sides of the street unless it's a boulevard with a giant, you know, barrier in the middle. You're supposed to stop, and he's followed the school bus, and hardly anybody stopped. They went around it. They went on each side of the street, past it. And this is against the law. You have to stop when they have that stop out there with the red flashing lights. And you're not doing it. They're not doing it to show their power. They're doing it because kids are out there. And kids don't. They run across the street. They're excited. They don't check traffic like you should. They just run around and they'll cross the street. And you don't want a tragedy you'll have to live with for the rest of your life. But when the stop sign is out on the bus, I know that was one of them, I remember.
Right, August.
Yeah, stop.
We'll be talking about that in more depth in August. But
yeah,
But, for goodness sake. School buses are out now. So there's never a time where safety should not be promoted.
Especially at the beginning of the school year because the kids are so excited. They're starting and they're not paying attention. You know, they're just not. And that's just the way kids are. And they get excited. And you don't want to hit anybody.
No, you don't, and whether that be with, you know, if you're going out and going to have a couple of drinks watching a Packer game or whatever, again, it comes down to responsibility. And I would tell people if we would arrest them, for instance, for drunk driving, we got them off the road, they weren't involved in a collision, good.
Yeah, let's talk about you for a second, your background. We didn't talk about that. You were a police officer for how many years?
About 33 years in total. Yeah, long time. Yeah, long time.
So you pulled a lot of people over who didn't have a driver's license.
Well, there was a fair share of them. But again, I started in the mid-1970s and retired from the Caledonia Police Department in 2010.
You probably worked with my wife.
I did, yeah. She was a dispatcher for a while and everything.
See, so you're one degree
good
away
morning,
from
Terry. So
Terry, yeah. You know Terry. Okay, good,
Yeah.
Good.
So, yeah, I mean, each of these traffic safety topics are really something we could spend the whole hour on talking about. And, again, our approach is to put it out as a public education for people. You know, in traffic safety, there's what we call the four E's. You know, one is enforcement. You can probably figure out what that is. One is engineering, that's designing safe highways and vehicles. Okay. One is education. That's what we're doing here and driver's ed programs and so forth. And the fourth one is actually EMS, because when crashes do occur, people get injured. And, fire, rescue, response, those are vital in terms of keeping people alive.
I'm amazed on these YouTube videos I see. If there's a horrible crash and the car flips or rolls over and it happens, how many good citizens run up to the car, start smashing the window to get the person out because the car is starting to go on fire. They spring into action with no with disregard for their own safety, to get that person out of the car. If there are children in there, they smash the windows. They go put their... I can't believe how many people do that. And when there's a medical emergency on the driver and the car won't stop, how many people run alongside and try to get into the car to shut it off so nobody gets killed? I don't know if I could do that. I mean, I see people do it. I don't know if I could do it, first of all, physically. But the wherewithal to start jumping on a car that's on fire, trying to get people out of it. Thank goodness there are people like that. It just... stop along the road and they bust the windows and they're trying to get you out of the car to save your life.
Sure. Yeah, there certainly are good Samaritans. And, you know, in terms of some of the crashes I responded to, many times there were civilians on the scene. And, you know, they rendered what aid they could. And even as a first responder, you know, you don't want to make it so that you become a casualty and you compound the situation.
Hang on here a second. Wait, I have more to ask you here. I thought I wouldn't have, but I do have more to ask you. Tom Nitter here. He is the vice chair of the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission, and we're talking about staying safe. We'll give you the website again where you can check the poster out. W-R-J-N. Tom Nitter is here, vice chair of the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. And we're talking about the Staying Safe program. You can go check out the latest poster by going to racinecounty.com/staying safe. Not only the poster, but a whole bunch of great information that you couldn't put on the posters before. It was just too much. But now, digitally, you can do it. racinecounty.com/staying safe. Staying safe, one word, okay? Talk about some of the other partners in there. In the program. It's not just the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission and, of course, not only WRJN, but who else is on there?
Right now we've got the law enforcement agencies in Racine County, and they've been involved for a long time. If you take a look at the poster, you'll see that the new version has it where each of the patches, I guess you would say, the patches that we have on our uniforms, all the different agencies. I think there's 11 different agencies in Racine County that participate, including the Wisconsin State Patrol. And they are the one agency that is required by state law to have participation in this program. But we've got, WRJN is a partner with us, certainly the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. One of the members of the Traffic Safety Commission is a representative from Wisconsin DOT, their Bureau of Traffic Safety, and gives us information. What we hope to do with this, now that we're in a digital fashion, is not just have it on the website, but we hope to get this information out to the different law enforcement agencies and eventually the fire service agencies in Racine County. And most of them have Facebook, social media, and we're going to start promoting it via that as well.
I'm glad it's back.
So am I. We are.
I was at the police department not too long ago for nothing nefarious. I just had to stop by and pick up something. And I noticed the poster on the wall. And that's what got me thinking about it again. I said, wow, I haven't seen those in a while. And now we know. And by the way, we mentioned that you used to work for the Caledonia Police Department.
That was one of my stops.
With my wife, who was the, she was a lady on the radio. One Adam 12. See the woman? That was her. She was a dispatcher. And so you've seen it all on the roads. You've seen accidents on the road. You've seen people who driving who shouldn't be driving, drunken drivers. I never understood why you can go to a ball game, drink, and then they send you out to your car. I know ballparks generally after the seventh inning won't serve alcohol anymore.
Correct.
But still, you've got it in your system to some degree.
Well, again, it comes down to responsibility. And, you know, we could talk about the culture, if you will, in Wisconsin with the brewing industry and so forth. And, you know, people are sociable. You know, I mean, we're social animals. We get out, and for some people that choose to drink, certainly nothing wrong with
that. It's okay to drink, just don't drive.
Well, right, exactly. And back then, some of the things were not in place. You know, now there's still the safe and sober. If you're at a bar, you've had too much to drink, they've got a program where you can get a ride home.
Hey, they got Uber.
No problems. AAA offers a program.
Oh, do they really?
Right. Okay. They offer a program now where they'll actually take you and your vehicle home. I don't have a whole lot of detail on that, but
I'm a AAA
that'll be
member.
a future discussion on that. So there are a lot of things. And I think the culture has changed. You know, I'm of the age where when I turned 18, I could drink. And that changed over the years to 21. In fact, there was a period of time in the, I think it changed in the mid-80s. I can remember going in and doing tavern checks, actually, you know, checking IDs and so forth. And it was, you know, if you were born in this, and it was sort of grandfathered in and so forth. And but now it's 21, and, you know, that is something that has changed. And I think people finally are you know, catching on to the fact that, yeah, there's nothing wrong with being sociable, but if you're going to go out and you're going to drink alcohol, that is something that you got to be aware of and you got to watch yourself. Bigger issue now is, again, and you're seeing more and more about this, is talk about impairment in terms of buzz driving and in terms of people smoking marijuana you know, what impairment that does, or prescription drugs, or, you know, any number of things. I mean, we can talk about all kinds of things. I mean, you need a person that is a safe driver to drive a safe vehicle in a responsible manner. That's what we're trying to achieve here. So,
you know, I never had a beer in my entire life.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
I tasted it once.
Yeah.
And I just didn't like the taste of it. So people said, well, try it again. I don't want to try it again. I didn't like it back when, you know, I could drink, and I'm not going to like it now. I just never had it. Never had a cup of coffee either. Never tried it. Smells delicious. I just love it. But it was odd coming to Milwaukee when I did in 1980, and they said, welcome to the city of brewing and, you know, the brewers and all. I said, well, I don't drink beer.
So. That's your choice. I mean, you know, again, and in fact, I just heard some study the other day that was saying, you know, there's no amount of alcohol that is really good for your health. You know, it had been that, well, if you're a man, you can consume two drinks in a day, woman one. They're even looking at that now and saying, you know, is there any safe amount? I mean, that's a whole different issue and topic. You know, we just want to make sure that people, again, are responsible where they control their behavior basically in such a way that they're not a danger when they get behind the wheel.
Did you ever give one of these sobriety tests?
Well, sure.
When you stop a driver?
Sure.
Now, I tried it once at home because I watched these YouTube videos. I can't hold my foot up 6 inches above the ground for 30 seconds. And I tried it so many times. I just can't. And I start losing my balance when doing it. Now, the other stuff, walking on a line, you know, counting six steps and walking, that I could do. I can follow the pen. I tried doing that. My head did move a little bit. Whoa. So it's tough. But when you're drinking, it's almost impossible to do it.
It becomes very noticeable, I guess would be the word to say. There's now standard sobriety testing for the roadside. There's other things. There's something called the PBT, which agencies can, you know, take a roadside breath test to help determine, you know, what might be in a person's system. That'll cover alcohol. If they have something else inside them, then it won't show up with that. That's a whole different issue, and I've been out of this for such a long time in terms of what
you're
call
not
chemical
out of it.
Testing.
You're not out of it.
Well, not completely, no. But I'm not on the road anymore. I'm not an active law enforcement officer as I had been. I was at one point in my career, I was a guy that did the breath testing at the police station. Yeah. Started out with something called a breathalyzer, and then we went to something called an intoximeter and so forth. But you gotta, you know, people, the working law enforcement officers will know what the proper application of the law is in terms of testing for alcohol or other drugs in a person's system.
I was given a piece of advice when I was the janitor at a radio station when I was 18. And I said to the program director, these people are just slobs. Can't we tell them to stop throwing stuff on the floor? Don't leave the bathrooms in such a pigsty state of condition. And he said, I'm going to tell you something that's going to serve you well for the rest of your life. And he certainly did. He said, you cannot dictate morality to people. Either they are what they are. And if you tell people, I want you to be neat from now on, it's not going to change. If you tell people you can't drink and drive, it's not going to change. Most of the people don't do that. But there are people that do it. If you tell somebody you can't drive if you don't have a license, it's not going to change anything because these people were doing it. You can't dictate morality to people. And I got news for you. Bob Lawrence is long gone, but I never forgot that. And when I see people doing stupid things, you can tell them not to do it. But if it's in their gut not to follow instructions, they're not going to do it. The only thing we can hope is we get them off the road. And that's the important thing. I want to know when my wife and I are on the road, when my daughter's driving, when my son is driving, there aren't nuts all around them. That's it. I thank you for coming in. This is a great program, by the way. And I want everybody to check out the monthly posters. You go to Racine, and we're going to promote this heavily, RacineCounty.com/staying safe. Staying safe is one word. RacineCounty.com/staying safe. Tom Nitter, thank you for all your years to the community, especially Caledonia, where you were a police officer for years and years and years. Thank you for doing this. And it's the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. And I'm glad you brought the posters back because it's real important people see this. And every month, we're going to get people in here at 7 o'clock in the morning.
You're a perpetual host, but I'll do my best to convince the other people. We got a great group of people that belong to our commission.
You can come in with them. Get your handcuffs. You handcuff them to yourself. You bring them in here and you sit down and we handcuff them to the chair. How's that? So they can't get up. Except the problem with these things, they go up and down so they can slide out of them.
Okay, Don, you come up with a plan. We'll work through it. But thanks for having me on this morning.
No, thank you. Thank you for all the work you do in your service to the community.
You're very welcome.
Because
thanks for resurrecting this program helping us. It's important. I know a lot of people listen to you in the morning.
Oh, good.
And this is great that we get this information back to the people again.
So, excellent,
thank
Tom.
You.
Tom Nitter.